Hi, everyone. As mentioned, I am going to be presenting today on Census Tract Neighborhood Factors and Pertussis, a study that was done in New Mexico from 2012 to 2015, an analysis that was performed by my colleague Sarah Shrum, who's unable to be here today. In this presentation, I'll be going over these four objectives. I will be presenting background information on the disease and the methodology used. I'll describe the findings and I'll make recommendations for possible future directions of research. As a background, Bordetella pertussis, which is also known as pertussis or whooping cough, is a highly contagious respiratory disease. It is known to be more severe in children, specifically in infants 0 to 12 months of age. It's characterized by a few classic symptoms listed here, but what I really want to focus on today is some of the interesting results that came from this study. Studies on neighborhood-level factors in infectious diseases have been conducted in other states like Connecticut, New York, and Tennessee. But to our knowledge, there is no existing studies specifically on neighborhood factors in pertussis. In those existing studies, there was a strong correlation between increased poverty and increased risk of disease. However, this study found differing results. In this study, all confirmed and probable cases of pertussis from 2012 to 2015 in New Mexico were geocoded to rooftop level. Of those, 79 cases were unable to be geocoded and therefore excluded from this analysis. But on further research, those did not differ significantly from what else was included. We followed New Mexico Department of Health race and ethnicity guidelines, where white refers to non-Hispanic white and Hispanic refers to Hispanic ethnicity regardless of race. We stratified by white, Hispanic, and American Indian Alaskan Native. Other groups like African American or Asian American had such small case counts that stratifying on them was unstable. However, they were included in the New Mexico overall category. We aggregated all geocoded data to the census tract level and then linked with three variables from the American Community Survey. First and most importantly, percentage of census tract living below the federal poverty line, as this is the most robust indicator of neighborhood poverty status according to the Harvard Geocoding Project. Please note that we did use a higher threshold for percent below poverty, as has been done in previous analyses in high poverty environments, such as New York in 2015. Crowdedness, which is defined as more than one person per room in a household, as we hypothesized that higher crowding levels would lead to increased risk of transmission of disease. And lastly, we looked at female head of household as we were interested in crafting messages specifically towards this group if significant trends were identified. Chi-score tests were performed on all categorical, demographic, and clinical variables, both overall and stratified by race and ethnicity. We also calculated incidence rates with a 95% confidence interval by age group and year of infection. Based upon the methodology described in the Public Health Disparities Geocoding Project, the direct age-adjusted incidence rate with a 95% inverse gamma confidence interval was calculated by social determinants and race and ethnicity. Here we look at pertussis incidence stratified by year and race and ethnicity in New Mexico from 2012 to 2015. I want to draw attention to a few points that can be seen here on this slide. As you can see, incidence of disease is decreasing, but pertussis is known to follow 3 to 5 year cycles, and in 2012, rates of pertussis were high across the country. Given the nature of pertussis and the current state of pertussis-containing vaccines, the information in bullet one is fairly expected. However, bullet 2 indicates that Hispanics had higher incidence of disease despite being more up-to-date on pertussis vaccines than non-Hispanics, which was fairly surprising. Although the previous slide was interesting, what I really want you guys to focus on and consider is what you see here. Those census tracts with lowest percentage of people below federal poverty line, i.e. the wealthiest, were associated with significantly higher overall rates of pertussis compared to medium low, medium high, and high poverty census tracts. The only group that does not show this trend was the American Indian Alaska Native group, but there was a low case count in this group. Also of interest, Hispanics had rates 3 to 9 times greater than non-Hispanic whites regardless of poverty level. As for crowdedness, those residing in lowest crowding census tracts were significantly associated with higher incidence of disease compared to medium-low, medium-high, and high-poverty census tracts, or high-poverty crowding census tracts. After stratifying by ethnicity, higher rates of pertussis amongst lowest crowding were only significant amongst non-Hispanic whites. Lastly, when looking at results for female head of household, the results were only observed to be significant among non-Hispanic white populations. Maybe most importantly of the strengths identified during this analysis would be that the analysis moved risk factors for pertussis from the individual level to the census tract level. Also of note, this analysis added information about a largely rural majority-minority population. Some of the limitations that I'd like to point out are that these census tract characteristics may not apply to actual individuals in the study, i.e. just because someone came from a poor neighborhood does not mean that they themselves are poor. The census data that we use for calculating these characteristics may no longer be accurate as it's from the 2010 census and we're quite a ways out from that now. Lastly, there's additional determinants worth exploring that were not looked at in this analysis, like education. These may confound or modify the effects of the results that have been seen. In conclusion, this analysis indicated that there is no positive association between pertussis infection and neighborhood-level poverty and crowdedness, which directly contrasts with previous studies on infectious disease and neighborhood-level social determinants. However, these findings do vary by determinants and race and ethnicity. This does indicate that there is an interplay between all of these factors. Future research is needed to disentangle how social determinants interact with each other and with race and ethnicity. In addition, future research should examine physician testing practices as well as individual care-seeking practices and see if they vary by socioeconomic status, as well as targeting education of providers to promote a need for accurate diagnosis and laboratory confirmation for the improvement of surveillance overall. We'd like to thank everyone involved in this analysis, but most of all, the public health nurses that continue to ensure the health and well-being of New Mexicans. Thank you.